Welcome to the Good News from the Gardens podcast. I am Pastor Steve Windsor of Nativity Lutheran Church and School in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Each week, I will be sharing a message grounded in faith, hope, and love of God from our Sunday worship service right here via this podcast. I hope you consider subscribing and sharing this message with others. Thank you for listening. Now this week's biblical reading and message.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke from the 24th chapter. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to hear to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of our Lord. The backstory to today's gospel is this. Two disciples had seen the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus and had invited him in to stay with them because it was getting late. Up to this point, those two had not recognized Jesus. And it was only after supper that Jesus' identity was revealed to them. Within that hour of Jesus' revelation to them, the two disciples returned to Jerusalem to tell how they met Jesus on the road and how he had opened their mind to the scriptures and he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The gathered there in Jerusalem responded by telling them that the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Peter. And this is where today's gospel picks up. So Jesus appears among them with a greeting he has used multiple times before and saying, "Peace be with you." But nonetheless, this offer of peace, they are a fearless group. And Jesus questions their fear and their doubts and provides proof to them that he is more than a ghost. "See my hands, see my feet, hands that touch, feet that are on the ground, flesh and bones." And he goes a step further and asks for something to eat in their presence. And he eats the broiled fish that they gave him. In the midst of this moment is Luke's assessment of the disciples and their companions' state of heart and mind as being joyful, disbelief, and still wondering. They're joyful in the midst of disbelieving and still wondering. Think about that for a moment. What it is to be joyful in the midst of disbelief and wondering. Might that be the feelings associated with the evidence of the end of a prolonged war? Absolutely joyful. Is it really happening? How could this be? Might it be the feelings associated with the evidence of being pregnant after a couple's prolonged struggle to conceive? Joy. Really? It happened. Might it be the feelings associated with the evidence of government legislation that will restore or possibly begin protecting the inalienable rights of a community, of a culture, or a nation of people? Or might it be the feelings associated with the evidence of love returning to a relationship that has been paused or broken? It is while in this joyful, disbelieving state of mind that Jesus opened their minds to the scriptures. He connects his previous words and the scriptural dots for them, that the Messiah was to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then he says, you are to witness these things. You are witnesses of these things. And just like that, the disciples and their companions completely understood the who, the what, when, where, and why of Jesus and the assignment. They got it. It clicked, right? Not hardly. I believe the question before us today in light of this scripture is this. What does it look like to have our minds opened to the scriptures? And secondly, what does it look like to take that opened mind and be real and to be present like Jesus was with his disciples and their companions in this moment? What does it look like to take that open mind and be real and present with the world as agents of resurrection, of new life in Christ, real and present witnesses, as Jesus was to the disciples? For he met them in their joyous disbelief and wonder. There is a balance to be struck in witnessing to God's power in Jesus Christ. For instance, as the disciples and their companions digested the events of the resurrection in light of the crucifixion, they had to fashion their sharing of repentance and forgiveness in light of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. For whom will the gospel come alive and be real because of Jesus' connection to the scripture? And for whom will the gospel come alive and be real because they witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection? There's the scripture, and then there's their witness. Those who would hear these first reports of the resurrection would surely respond with varied measurements of joy, disbelief, and wonder. Is it the scriptures? Is it the witness? Maybe it's both. This past week, a mother of a preschool child who's on the autism spectrum approached myself and Miss Pia about a recent statement made by a pastor in Lake Worth regarding the exclusion of Autism Awareness Month at their school. I don't know if any of you have heard about this. When questioned by parents and supporters, this pastor's written response was, I know that the teachings and the actions of my Jesus are fully able to do all that Autism Awareness Program intends to achieve and so much more. He continues, the world in its rejection and hatred of Christ often devises programs such as Autism Awareness and figures of culture surrounding holidays, think the guy with the beard and think of the bunny, to get the benefits of his teachings, such as compassion, kindness, feeling, love, and self-worth. Doing this without acknowledging Jesus as the ultimate authority and the source of all life. These initiatives imply that Jesus alone is insufficient, and we fail to recognize just how deeply they have permeated into our daily lives as Christians. As a result, we have a form of godliness but deny its power. End quote. Then finally, this man doubles down with this. Any philosophy, teaching, or program that teaches that their identity is found in anything other than Christ is idolatry and demonic. He probably would have been upset to know that April is also Irritable Bowel Syndrome Month. Seriously. And as you can imagine, he supported all of these statements with scriptural quotes. This preschool mom was beside herself. She is not a churchgoer. She would likely not profess Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She does, however, have a deep moral compass. She is wired for good. She knows the golden rule. She lives by the golden rule. She believes in that what you put out into the universe is hopefully returned. She believes in the principles that Jesus taught. Like the disciples, she gets the death of Jesus on the cross as a historical event of a man of highly self-sacrificing intentions. But the disciples' understanding of Jesus as being the Son of God, who has come to take away the sins of the world through the cross, goes in a different direction than hers. And the same goes for the resurrection. The disciples were there. They witnessed it. She was not. But that is where us, the followers, come in. She was deeply saddened by this pastor's seemingly flawed understanding of God and of how the universe, as she would say, works. His words brought her to tears. We listened, and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, tried our best to patch up this theological and scriptural mess for her. Scripture is the tool by which we learn how God worked God's scripted plan of love and redemption through Jesus Christ, despite the unscripted but predictable messiness of humanity, such as this pastor's statements. We cannot, and I don't say cannot or should or need ever in my sermons, almost never, but we cannot allow Scripture to be the process, the means by which we witness to our faith. We cannot allow the process to prevent the purpose of the gospel, of walking alongside, of steering, encouraging, and equipping people to see that the resurrected God is in our midst. If we truly desire to be as good as Jesus, then we are to do as Jesus. Create community in all shapes and forms and attach, attribute, lift up, resurrect, and be a part of creating understanding to this world that we are aware of their wounds. Jesus said, "Look at my hands. Look at my feet. I am here, healed. No trickery. I'm here." And although we are never fully healed while here on earth, might we be brave of faith to relay our life experience, our healing wounds, alongside the scriptures. Not exclusive of, but in addition to them. Might our minds be open to the scriptures in a way that bridges, that connects, and enlightens. Through your faith experience, might you say to the other, "Look at my heart, it is being healed. Look at my soul, it is full of hope." Why? Because you are, as Jesus said, a witness to these things. You have been there. You have been healed. You have been cared for by community in Christ. God comes to us through created means, through everything and anything God works. So to think that God's providence in Jesus Christ is somehow stymied by organizations and communities that don't profess faith, then that is an insult to God's pervasive nature in our world. The Spirit of God attaches itself to community, whether it is community around a congregation, a school, a neighborhood, or town, or community because of an organization such as Autism Awareness or Breast Cancer Awareness or Irritable Bowel Month Awareness. The Spirit of God is there. God is made known, and the scriptures come alive for all, when we, as the church, wonder of ways, to be present with disbelievers so as to create joy. That is resurrection. When we followers of Christ bring our joy, disbelief, and wonder into spaces of disbelief and wonder, joy is inevitable. Healing is inevitable. God is inevitable. When we followers of Christ, despite our discomfort or hesitation or feelings of inadequacy, make our way into spaces and places of discomfort, of disbelief, of tears, the Spirit of God is inevitable. There are tens of millions of people in this country who in their disbelief are still wondering. There are thousands of people in our community who in their disbelief are still wondering. There's a preschool mom who wonders in disbelief, but is healing because of the witness of this church that I speak on behalf of and this preschool that I speak on behalf of. We are to be real. We are to be present. We are to be Christ-like. Boots on the ground theology. We practice purpose over process. Faith lived out in this manner. Church lived out in this manner. Community nurtured in this manner creates space for wonder of the mind and soul and acceptance of the heart to the revelation that God is love and that God is real in this world. So here is my hope and my prayer for us all, that no matter what this world manages to muster up, you remember that Christ absorbed it all on the cross and defeated it in its totality in the resurrection. With that scriptural witness and the comfort that you yourself have received because of it, may your wonder of God's love run rampant over any shreds of disbelief and provide you with joy. Not just joy for you, but joy for all. Amen.
Thanks for listening. I hope this week's message has given you something life-giving to think about and given you hope that you are loved by God. To learn more about Nativity Lutheran Church and School, search PB Nativity on Facebook or visit our website at nativitylutheranpbg.com. If you would like to support this podcast or any of the ministries of Nativity, please visit our website giving page. Thanks again for tuning into this week's The Good News from the Gardens podcast. Till next week, love God and love God's people.